Well, good morning, Westridge. It's good to see you today. Good to be back here with you, and especially as we continue our real relationship series. Hey, I realize the Bible is all about relationships, isn't it? God to us to God, people to people, and you think that as far as friends, as far as the church goes, and what we've been talking about, the first unit that God ever designed, families. Back to the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. That was the first relational group began that God began. The topic we're going to do today, by the way, Greg and Danielle have done a great job starting us off in the series, haven't they? And so we're going to continue today. Exactly. I believe real families create memories. Now, memories are something we all share in common. We all have them, and we can exercise and choose to exercise them as we desire. And they serve a variety of purposes. I mean, memories sustain us as we look back. They instruct us as we think about things we have encountered, things we have done, and they remind us of things that are important to us, our values, our friendships, our health and well-being. So I have a picture here of one of the shelves in my office, and I was asked about the paper plate. That has apple seeds on it because it reminds me of the importance of planting churches. I start churches not to have another church started, but so every apple seed on there represents a potential orchard. Am I right? Okay. Orchards come from trees. But on this, there are a variety of things up there that have memories attached to them. I have coffee mugs there that are from my family, that my grandchildren give me for Christmas time, pictures of us and them on it. I have other coffee cups from Ignite, churches that have been started by the organization I work with. There are baseballs in that picture. One of these is the first hit I ever had in college, which was a home run in a tournament down in Kentucky. And that's the only home run I hit during my four-year collegiate career, period, okay? Hey, I started strong, okay? Yeah, anyway, there are all kinds of objects I've used in messages, some I will use in messages in the future, but there's one object in particular that is over and over and over again on that shelf, and that is rocks. Hey, guys, I love rocks more than I love knives, okay? Okay, and the rocks, these all serve as reminders to me of times or of places that I've been. So I have rocks there from the beaches of Southern California, some oceanside, some down at Coronado. I have rocks from Colorado and Wyoming and Arkansas. I have rocks that are pieces of coral that have come from the Caribbean. And I have this rock here. I love rocks. They have character, you know, substance to them. I picked this rock up on a pheasant hunt with a dear friend of mine. Now, this rock was the only thing I bagged that day, okay? And it was rather heavy as I carried it in my vest. But it reminded me of a time I spent with a friend. I've been a good friend of this guy for 40 years. And every time I look at this rock on my shelf, it reminds me of Bill Shipman, a friend. Hey, rocks were used in Bible times as reminders to future generations of things that God had done. When the Israelites crossed over from into the promised land across the Jordan River, Joshua had all the tribal leaders pick up a rock from the middle of the Jordan. And he had each one of them carry, there were 12 rocks, they carried them over and they piled them up on the west side of the Jordan River. And that pile, Joshua said, I want you to use that to remind your children of what God has done. And from that point on, rocks were often used as reminders by God's people. Rocks bring memories, and memories are extremely important. You see, I believe memory is a gift from God. And when it comes to family and the relationships we have in a family, I can't help but think about what we're told about a very special lady in the Bible, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Two times in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is where Jesus, the birth of Jesus is talked about. And the early life of Jesus is talked about. The only book in the Bible where we hear, get another picture of the early life of Jesus. On both these occasions, we're told this phrase here, Mary treasured up all these things. And that idea of treasuring up something means you hold it, you keep it, you remember it. The first time was after Jesus was born. The shepherds came and they told about the angelic choir that had come. And we're told that Mary treasured up all these things that the shepherds told and pondered them in her heart. And then the second time, Jesus turned 12, And they lost him in the city of Jerusalem. His mom and his earthly dad lost him in the city of Jerusalem, and they had to go back to the city to look for him. They found him in the temple talking to the Jewish leaders, asking questions, answering questions. And Mary treasured that in her heart. Memories are important. They provide space for us to reflect, to rejoice, and even to redirect our lives. So today, real families create memories. Boy, home is such a powerful word, isn't it? In 2000, we decided to build a new home in Mantino. And the challenge was figuring out where. There were several options that were open to us at that point in time as far as different lots. And I was driving around town one night with my youngest son. And we came to a lot that I'd looked at on the map, and I thought, man, could this be the place? And so we drove up, and it was kind of dark, and I looked out, and there was a shape out on the back of this lot. And I thought, wonder what that is. So I stopped the car. Logan and I got out. We went back to the back of the lot and found that there was a rock that was out there on that lot. It was one of these, the one on the right there. That was the rock that was there. And so I had just preached a sermon at the church I was pastoring at that point in time on there is no rock like our God. And like I said, I love rocks. So I stood up on the rock, and Logan said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, you know, I'm going to pray. I want to ask God if this is the place where we're supposed to build our house. So I prayed for a few minutes and got down off the rock, and we made our way back to the car and got back inside. And that's when Logan said, Dad, well, what? What are you here? And I said, this is the place. This is where we will build our home. And this is the spot. He said, okay. And we did. And we did. During the building process, the excavator moved both these rocks off the property, and I promptly had my three boys help push those rocks back onto the property because those were my rocks, okay? Those were my rocks. In fact, they played a very prominent role in the landscaping for our new home. We put them out in front of the new home, and every time I'd walk out the front door, you know what I'd see? I'd see a reminder of why we were, where we were. And I thank God. That's why I wanted each one of you here to have a rock reminder. Now, granted, it's not substantial like this, and yes, you are to hold on to those and not throw them this way, okay? That's the idea. You hold those on. But we'll use those a little later. But I say rocks are very important because they help us remember. Now, the question is, how do we create memories that matter as a family, as individuals, and as families? Well, I think there's several things we need to recognize. First is the importance of learning how to capture memories. Now, I recognize, guys, that there are different kinds of families. The theme of this series is real relationships. And I think relationships, that means relationships as God wanted them to be. And there is a picture of the family that God had in mind when he created it. He wanted the family to be a loving place, a supporting place, an encouraging place, a place where people can come home and feel like, yeah, we're home. It's safe here. I also realize that's not the case for all of us. And I know that not all of us have positive memories from time spent with our family. And I'm sorry for that, because I want you to realize that's not the way God intended it to be. See, memories that aren't always pleasant can leave scars. And we all understand that. We've all had them. I don't know what kind of family you were raised in, but if you had to bear with one that was more than willing to bring up past failures or that created negative environments, again, I'm sorry about that, because that's not what God had in mind. See, scars are real, though. You know, whether they come from tied to something that happened to us, maybe something we chose to be a part of, or even something that was said or done without thinking, it left a scar. And we all can point to scars. We can point to them physically, but we can also point to them emotionally. See, and here's what I've experienced with scar memories. Our enemy, the devil, is very adept at bringing those memories back. And he uses those as ammunition, at least he does against me. He likes to bring back those memories where I failed as a follower of Jesus. You know, I spoke too soon. I didn't listen well enough. I walked past someone needing help. Or I chose simply to step into sin, even though I knew exactly what I was doing. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced his accusing voice, but he's good at bringing up bad memories. He's good at that. Here's the problem. Bad memories are like handcuffs. They restrict. They restrain. They catch, they hold, and we can't exit them on our own. And the enemy, he wants to do this with scar memories. He wants to cuff us. And he wants to hold us down. And he wants us to rehearse these memories until we own them and we believe them. See, and while we all have scar memories, Jesus tells us we don't have to let those define us. See, I love what 1 John 3:8 says. The Son of God, the reason the Son of God appeared, so here's the purpose. Why did Jesus appear? The reason he appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Hey, Satan builds this card, this house of cards against us. You know what Jesus does? He blows it away. He blows it away. We have someone who has the key to release us from the scar memories. Now, we don't forget them. They're real. But we can let them fade with time as we listen to the right voice. See, scars can serve as guides. They can teach us what we don't want to do, how we don't want to act or react. And if your family reveled in bringing up scars, just know that we don't have to continue to travel that trail. We can break the chain. We have the choice whose voice to listen to. And I don't want to listen to the one that puts me in handcuffs. Hey, real families. Yeah, scar memories, real families, they'll also create an environment. Whew, they're hard. Real families create an environment so memories can be captured that also bring smiles. Hey, while scars are real, smiles are real too, though, aren't they? Okay? And those are the type of memories we want to focus the rest of our time on. We're told Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, what do you think ran through her mind as she watched Jesus grow up? You ever thought about that? Okay. So here's the baby. Before he was born, she promised he's going to be the Messiah. She got a chance to watch him grow up, baby, toddler, child. Okay. She had other children besides Jesus. Have you ever wondered what she thought as she watched her son? Okay, he turns 12, he goes to the temple in Jerusalem, and he's talking to the Jewish leaders. He's giving them questions, he's answering their questions. 12 years old. And then she watched him as he grew up into ministry. He was a carpenter, like her husband. He grew up in ministry. And when he turned 30, he began his public ministry, and popularity began to grow. Now, a proud parent, right? You watch people, crowds of people following your child and listening to him talk. And I'm sure he was, that's my boy, right? But then there came that time, it's kind of interesting, he began his second year of public ministry, and the crowd got even larger. And we're told that Jesus entered a house, a crowd gathered, so that he and the disciples were not even able to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. Here's what they said. He is out of his mind. I don't know if that came from his mom, probably from his brothers. Okay? Maybe a little jealousy. I don't know. Okay? He's out of his mind. And maybe as a mom, he's thinking, son, you've got to eat. Okay? I don't know. Mary had all sorts of memories, though, she treasured about her boy because she was with him all the way and watched him in action. She held them, they guided her. Now, my question for us is, how do we capture memories? Because memories are meant to be captured. Now, most of us capture on these, don't we? Okay, in fact, before I did this message today, I was scrolling through different pictures. I have different pictures up on the screen. Look at this picture here. These These are some of my my children. I just picked some pictures from recent pictures. That the middle one, bottom, that's our Easter picture. Okay, three of us dressed up. I told Logan. I said, "You look like the Unabomber." Okay, right? Okay. I love my family. Okay, I love my family. And every time as I scrolling through these pictures, you know what they did? They brought a smile to my face. Because all of them are attached to a memory that touched my heart. Hey, I capture memories in these things. This is one of my journals, okay? I keep a journal next to my Bible. And every morning when I read my Bible, if I get a verse that catches my eye or catches my mind, I write it down. I also write down ways I see God at work. And what I did is I was looking at this too. I just looked back on some of my journals through the years. I've got about 25 years worth of journals on my shelf. And I told Darla, I said, one of these days the boys can look back on those when I'm gone and see what their dad did. And here's what she said. They won't be able to read it. She's right. Okay. So I use my journal. The journals, it helps me capture memories. Now, I also use objects. Imagine that, to capture memories, okay? So a few years ago, 2017, we had a wedding, okay? My nephew got married, and my son, my oldest son, well, all the three boys were ushers in the wedding, and he had to go early to help get ready for the wedding. I was doing the wedding, but I got there a little later. As I was walking down the hallway to get to my car in the hotel, my daughter-in-law, I passed their room. My daughter-in-law was there with the two grandkids. She had to get them ready. And she looked at me. She said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Absolutely. What do you need?" She said, "We got a reversible belt for Garrett. It's on the wrong color." She said, "I have no idea." Now, she's one of the smartest people I know. "I have no idea how to reverse this thing. Does it take a tool? Does it take a screwdriver? How do you do it?" And I walked over. I did this. And handed it back to her. And she gave me one of those "oh crap" looks and said, "I'm never going to hear the end of this, am I?" I said, "Nope." It's amazing how reversible belts can make their way into everyday conversations, okay? And you know, every time we did, the other day, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I brought my belt and I just said, "Hey, can you help me?" She said, "Shut up." Okay? And then laughed, okay? I mean, those memories like that, okay, they I love smile memories. I love smile memories. Those are the ones that sustain us, right? They beg to be relived and retold. And every time we do it, every time we tell the story again, they fill us up. See, a real family, what they do is they create an environment that welcomes smile memories, that looks for them, that anticipates a memory happening. And when they do, you're ready to capture, right? Okay, that's what real families do. And that's the second thing I recognize. Real families also celebrate memories. A couple of years ago, we went on a vacation with our oldest son, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren in Tennessee. And while we were walking in Smoky Mountain National Park, we began to see a strange phenomenon. There were rock stacks that were stacked up in the creeks. People set them up to show that they had been there. And they left these little monuments. So there's a couple of monuments. My oldest son made his monument. My grandson made his monument. And I love this idea. So what I did is I took six small stones, kind of the size you guys have, and those sit on my shelf. And they represent me, my wife, my oldest son, his wife, and my two grandchildren. And every time I look at that stack, I realize the family pillar that we have. Just, again, it's just something we celebrate, and I have that on my shelf to celebrate. Now, there are different things we enjoy celebrating, right? We enjoy celebrating achievements. I'm thinking about this as my family. We celebrate jobs that our children have received or promotions of those jobs. When my oldest first became a cop, we went out to eat, celebrated. When he moved down to Urbana and became a sergeant, we celebrated by going out to a restaurant and eating. When my oldest twin son got his job, we celebrated by going out to eat. When Logan got his job teaching in Piatone, when we were told the job market was horrible for teachers at that point in time, God provided. We went out and ate and celebrated. And when my daughter-in-law, back in March, got the job that we've been praying for at the school where my grandchildren attend as a district secretary, you know what we did? We went out to eat and we celebrated. You catch a theme there? I like to eat, okay? Yeah. But I'll tell you what, we go out, we want to recognize and celebrate those special achievements. Hey, special days, we do the same thing, right? Whether it be our own, our children's, or our grandchildren's, most of us enjoy celebrating our birthday. It's our day. And when we do this with our children, Darla and I always think back to the day they were born. You know, Jared, March 26th, the twins, August 1st. And we always tell the story to each other because we like to remember that special day. Next week, next Sunday, see this picture here? Darla and I are going to celebrate a very special day together. You see, 40 years ago, on May 29th, 1982, she walked down the aisle toward me at her home church in Bowen, Illinois, and we said, "I do," together. Look at that beautiful hair. And hers is nice too, yeah? Hey? Yeah. You know what? We have shared a lot of smiles through the years. Yeah, a few scars, but mostly smiles. God's been very good. She's a saint. She lives with this every day of her life for the last 40 years. She's a saint. I love my bride. And next week, you know what we're going to do? We rented a house in New Buffalo, Michigan, next weekend, and the whole family's coming. We're all going to be together for 3 days and just to have fun and share a lot of memories. Because real families celebrate. The last thing I recognize is that we also celebrate when God's at work, seeing God at work. I like to write down with different appointments I see, divine appointments that God brings my way. I'm not always dialed into the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but there are times when I see an opportunity, I step into it. Now, I was reminded earlier this week while I was reading and praying of an opportunity that the organization I lead missed about 25, 30 years ago. And see, the same opportunity came up again, and I was acting the same way we did 25, 30 years ago. And I said, I don't think we want to do this. And the Spirit reminded me of back then, 25 years ago, I had said, man, I don't want to do that if the opportunity comes again. And so when the board meeting came on Friday to choose whether or not to step into that opportunity, you know what I said? We're stepping into that opportunity because it's come back our way, and we don't want to say no. I'm sure glad I listened and remembered. And I think God's going to bless Ignite because of it. When I had my hip surgery back in December, I had 2 weeks of in-home physical therapy. And I was talking to the physical therapist. She told me her first name, and we were talking a little bit. She said, "You know who I am?" I said, "No, you just told me your first name, and I know several Stephanies." And she said, "Well, we live next door to each other, back in Mantino." I said, "Okay, all right." She said, "Now, are you comfortable?" I said, "Absolutely, I'm comfortable. Come, be my physical therapist." And for 2.5 weeks, we had some great spiritual conversations that we'd never had before. And I had a chance to pray with her. And I realized coincidences like that don't happen. It's God incidences that happen, right? And I thank God that he brought that around to me and gave me an opportunity like that. God's always at work. Mary saw God at work in her life, and she was there for her oldest son all throughout his life. You know, Mary was there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. And maybe she remembered the words that Simeon had spoken to her when Jesus was only 41 days old. Here's what he said: "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Then here, and so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Now listen to this: "And a sword will pierce your own soul also." What memories flooded her mind at that point in time? How can this be? could this be what God had in mind? I don't see it. But 3 days later, she understood because her firstborn rose from the dead to change the world forever. And maybe at that point in time, she remembered what Jesus had promised about that very thing. Hey, real families, create an environment where memories can be captured and celebrated. They instruct us, memories guide us, they sustain us, and they remind us of what's most important. And this is why they are meant to be treasured and pondered, just as Mary did. So here's what I want to ask you to do in the week ahead, to capture some memories worthy of celebration. First of all, I'd like to encourage you to take some time and do some scrolling in your phone. I'd like you to do it this afternoon, if you would. I did this as I was working on the message, and as I scrolled, looking at different pictures to put up, different memories, what I found was that the same emotion I had for when I had that event take place, I felt that same emotion again. And I think you probably will do the same thing as you scroll and look at the memories you have stored up. Secondly, I want to invite you to put your rock reminder somewhere where you'll see it in the week ahead as a reminder to capture a memory worth celebrating this week. And maybe it's going out to lunch or having coffee with a friend from your past, or going to a place or somewhere like it where you went on your first date with your spouse, or maybe it's taking your family to a place where new memories can be made. I'm planning on some good pictures taking place in New Buffalo next weekend. See, reminders help us remember what's important. They're substantial. They're beautiful. And we need them. And I believe real families create that kind of environment. And folks, if anyone here is burdened by scars, scar memories, if this is the case, I know Jesus came to provide release from our past. Hey, one of the promises of the Bible is if we seek God, He will be found by us. So if you need help, Jesus is here, and He can provide help. And if you want somebody to talk to, or you just want somebody to pray with you afterwards, we'll have several people down here. We'll pray. We'll pray. Because I know God's here and He wants to help. Because He wants every one of us to find the life that He promises and to find their way home. To find their way home.